You're tuned in to the FF Faceoff. Here, ready to drop the elbow on your competition, is Mike and Anthony. Ooh, yeah, dig it. Yeah, the FF Faceoff.
All right. Welcome back, folks, to the FF Faceoff. This is a podcast proudly brought to you by Fantasy Football King.
Behold the King. The King of Kings.
We're watching Anthony take down shots of fireball. It is entertainment within itself. You knew I was going to comment on that once I saw you.
So not used to you watching me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm used to my privacy on this end.
Yeah, you take shots. You're how old?
It's been a while.
No, but how old are you now?
36.
You take shots at 36 like I took shots at like 16. So, yeah, there you go. But there you go. Welcome to the FFA. So, folks, of course, this is a year-round fantasy football / NFL podcast that keeps you best informed all year round. This way, when said drafts come up, those fantasy drafts, you knock them out of the park, of course. And when you meet up with your friends and they've got their magazines and they're not prepared and they just printed out something that day, you've already got it all up here. That's because you've been, and I'm pointing to my head for you podcast listeners, that's because you've been listening to the FFA. So thank you and welcome. My name is Michael Hoff. You can follow me on Twitter at the FF Realist. My partner in crime, we already mentioned his shot habits, so we'll leave him alone now. His name is Anthony Servino, and he can be followed at the Real NFL Guru. Anthony, all that aside, how's it by you?
Mike, I'm doing great today.
All right.
You know, it is what it is, but I told you earlier I kind of banged up my shoulder a little bit in the gym.
Yes.
So that's not fun, but I'm good. I'll be training shoulders tomorrow.
There you go. Well, good.
Outside of that, I'm great.
Yeah, there you go. And I worked out yesterday for the first time in a very long time, and I feel like Batman in Dark Knight Rises when Bane breaks his back. So that's where we're at with that. Feeling good, though. It's good sore. It's good. So there you go.
You should train with me.
No, I'm good. Thank you very much. I've seen you lift. That's all right. You keep doing your thing. You are wonderful. I don't think I can keep up with you. That's the point. That's a credit to you. So there you go. So we're going to go over some of the latest NFL news, what it might mean for fantasy football, so on and so forth, all that good stuff. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or just want to bitch and moan, our live chat is open. So if you're on Twitch, Periscope, YouTube, feel free to fire them in there. And as long as you're there, subscribe while you're at it. And there you go. So good times. So we'll just spread that love there. And also, iTunes listeners, please leave a review. We'll do this podcast for about an hour. It takes you less than a minute to leave a review, and we'll appreciate the hell out of it. So there you go. Anthony, I guess we'll kick it off today as far as what we'll discuss. Why don't we talk about Zach Ertz a little bit here to kick it off? Because Zach Ertz, there were some reports out last night, or I should say a report. We won't talk to you about Chase Daniel. We know that that was out last night too, but we'll kind of leave that alone. But Zach Ertz, there are some teams that have been calling for Zach Ertz, and I believe you'll have to forgive me. I forget who gave the actual report, but said it could be within the next few days. So a trade could be imminent for one Zach Ertz. And then we heard today, Anthony, that there were multiple teams or quarterbacks on teams campaigning to their management to go get a Zach Ertz. Not bad for a tight end who everybody on Twitter says is washed. What says you about Zach Ertz? Where do you think he can go? All that fun stuff.
Well, to start, Zach Ertz does not come with a cheap price tag. I believe he will count roughly $8.5 million against the team's salary cap this year. But for a tight end with the caliber of Zach Ertz, for years, he was like in that hovering tight end three or four category, because we had Gronk and Kelsey. Now it's, you know, Kelsey and Waller and Kelsey and insert name. And then there was Zach Ertz. He fell off in the past year or so, but this is a top end caliber talent. And it's not like he's ancient. He's not 33 years old. Right. He has plenty of juice left. And I think Zach Ertz could really help a football team this season. It just depends on, number one, what team can afford to sign or to trade for Zach Ertz.
Right.
But who's going to use him properly? I'm seeing a lot of Seattle Seahawks, like, they don't use their tight end the way Carson Wentz and the Eagles use Zach Ertz. You're not going to get that production from Russell Wilson in Seattle, especially not with the rate that they pass the ball. And this is assuming Russ is still there. At the rate that they pass the ball, they have DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. They do have quality pieces in Seattle. Where I would love to see Zach Ertz is back with his guy, with who is becoming my guy in Indianapolis, Carson Wentz.
Oh, all right.
I would love to see Zach Ertz, Trey Burton, and Jack Doyle rounding out the tight end room in Indianapolis.
And that seems like, you know, you referenced, you know, there was a lot of Seahawks talk out there, and there is.
Doesn't make sense.
Right, but you, to that point, because there's other teams mentioned as well that wouldn't use the tight end the way he was used in Philadelphia, but Indianapolis, to me, as far as what you're preaching, is probably the best case to get utilized even remotely close to the way he was in Philadelphia. I'm not saying it's going to be carbon copy. Don't at me, because that's not what I'm saying. But yeah, so I think Indy would be his best bet. I threw out a tweet last night. I said, give me a dark horse, because, you know, we all know Indianapolis, and that's fine, and that's most logical, you know, but give me a dark horse. And mine was the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills have they have a lot. Listen, they've restructured some contracts. They've got some money available. They don't exactly have the most stellar tight ends in the clubhouse there. You know, somebody added me on Twitter, and they added me again because I called them out today without using their name, and they found me. So I'm just calling you out again for a second or third time. But somebody was like, yeah, they're not going to sign a tight end because they need running backs. Like, NFL GMs can multitask. They can pick up multiple positions in one day. So I'm just saying, I just think that wouldn't shock me. But I agree with you. His best landing spot is Indy. I mean,
listen,
do you want to shit on Buffalo for a little bit?
Well, number one, Indianapolis loves to run 13 personnel, one back, three tight end sets.
Yes, they do.
You know, that's like the big formation. If you're a Madden player back in the old school days when you saw big, that was probably the big formation. Only they probably had a fullback in there as well. But when you have three tight ends on the field, it's usually up on the goal line, up when you need 1 or 2 yards, a play action pass, and you have a quick 2 yard out to pick up the first down or the touchdown. But they use it effectively in Indianapolis. And a guy like Zach Ertz, Trey Burton, both of those guys are versatile. So is Jack Doyle. And if you add a legitimate weapon on the outside, not named T.Y. Hilton, who is aging, this offense and Carson Wentz could be extremely potent. Now, in the chat, right?
I was just going to say, and then we go to the chat. You're also bringing in somebody, and forgive me if you already mentioned this, somebody who's very familiar with Carson Wentz already. So there's already a rapport there, too.
Listen, whether it's nice. Ertz, Burton, or both, one of those will be in Indianapolis next year. We have Lamont in the chat saying the Chargers. And we also have a question from Scott Kobe, which we will get to soon.
All right.
But Lamont is really on the subject we are talking right now, which is Zach Ertz. The Chargers, they let Henry walk with his big price tag. They have a lot of money to spend. They draft Brevin Jordan for the future. I mean, I guess if you're willing to let Hunter Henry walk, and you can say, well, Zach Ertz has injuries, so does Hunter Henry. I could see something like this happening. And also Lamont is saying, what if he joined the Jags? Now, I put out an Ertz tweet and I saw one or two Jags comments, which I get. But if I'm the Jaguars, that is a team. They it looks like they want to be a young team. And I get you need veteran leadership somewhere. Maybe you get that on the offensive line or the defensive side of the football. I think if the Jags are going to go after a veteran tight end, it actually piggybacks Lamont's point of going to sign a Hunter Henry and then Ertz going to the Chargers. I don't see Ertz really to Jacksonville.
Yeah, I don't. Right. I agree. I don't see Ertz or Jacksonville, but I could see. L.A. I kept trying to. My head wanted to keep saying San Diego.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, I think he could definitely get. And I think, you know, again, to circle it back, you talked about teams that would utilize him the way in which he was utilized in Philadelphia. I think that after Indianapolis, I think that the Chargers would be the next one. And you're dancing. What are you dancing for? What are you doing?
Because I played the San Diego Superchargers 1975 fucking sound drop.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right, there you go. That doesn't have the expletive in the description. That's important.
No.
Oh, okay. Just curious.
We
just
were so a PG show about a year ago. Now I say fuck, shit, bitch. I say it all.
All right. Well, there you go. It's a show for all ages. And a timeless one at that. So there you go. My wife just jammed me up because she's saying I'm saying circle back like somebody, and now I'm paranoid about saying circle back. But circling back.
What's wrong with circling back?
I don't know. But now it's in my head. So we're going to circle back again.
I love to circle back to my 20s and do that over again.
Circle back to your 20s. Yeah, sure.
Or at least like the time that goes up to 8 p.m. I feel like 8 p.m. and on, I had success.
You should circle back to your 20s to try and find out how to take a shot again properly.
Well.
Anyway,
I did other things in my 20s that led me to rehab.
And you know what's kind of surprising? Sorry, that got dark. Hunter Henry had a base salary last year, $10 million. So they'd already be getting Ertz cheaper. So maybe that could work. So I don't hate that. Anthony, I mean, also, I think the Cardinals are thrown out there. I think the Cardinals are a lot like the Seahawks. They don't utilize a tight end. Then again, have they ever had a tight end to really utilize? I mean, can you name the last relevant tight end on the Cardinals?
Can
you actually? Like, now I'm not even screwing around. Now I'm actually quizzing you.
No.
Can you name me the last fantasy relevant tight end on the Arizona Cardinals?
Dan Arnold. I mean,
no, like that's a horseshit one. I'm saying like a consistent one. I'm saying no. The level of a Zach Ertz. Yeah, right?
No.
So there you go. All right. Well, okay. Never mind. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. She told me what I'm. Never mind. Now I'm not going to say it ever again.
Can you name? Can you name him?
No, I can't. That's why I asked you. That's why I pinned it on you. I will do some homework tonight and find out. But yeah, no. So there you go. But all right. So we do think that Zach Ertz ultimately best fit would be Indy. The Chargers would be a good fit. Any other team you think would be a good fit, or you think they're just other teams involved? Like, does Carolina ring a bell to you? Do you care about Carolina? I mean, Joe Brady doesn't – he's not exactly known
not
for using tight ends.
Not with Teddy Bridgewater.
Mm. Okay.
There's all too right. many weapons there. I mean, any – there are 30 – in my opinion, there are 31 teams not named the Philadelphia Eagles, and including, if you want to go 32 teams, who can use a guy like Zach Ertz. It's just a matter of, does the money work, and is there a need for a Zach Ertz? So the teams that we know, Seattle, they need a tight end. Buffalo, they need a tight end. Jacksonville, they really need a tight end. Like Indianapolis, the usual suspects are the usual suspects when it comes to bringing in Zach Ertz. Like people have thrown out New England. New England's not going to pay $8.5 million for a tight end. Not named Gronkowski in 2015.
They just drafted like two last year.
They're going to get Kyle Rudolph for like $3 million in incentives.
Yeah. And I was going to say they just drafted two last year. And that's not to say that they drafted two, so therefore they can't pick up one, because those two aren't exactly, you know, Rob Gronkowski 2.0. It's just to give you an example of what Anthony's saying. They're not going to go ahead and invest that kind of money in a tight end. They haven't ever before. I don't think they're going to do it right now. So there you go. Anthony, that was much better.
Thank you.
Much better. There you go. All right, good. All right, let's stick with the Eagles right here. Let's keep it around Eagles as long as Zach Ertz is still in town. We'll go with Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, apparently put out today.
This is a fun one.
After Carson Wentz was traded, there was some talk that, well, you never know, the Eagles could always go for a quarterback at six. And I said that that's a brilliant idea because you've got the Panthers, Broncos, 49ers all behind them. You could have a king's ransom. Now we find out Jeffrey Lurie wants, he's instructed the team to build around Jalen Hurts. So the king has spoken. Mm. So they shall build around Jalen Hurts. I say the king because he's the king of Philadelphia.
You know, I want to, since when have, like, the Philadelphia Eagles at one point, I believe that Howie Roseman and the organization, they were going in the right direction. And guys like Jerry Jones, my Jerry Jones, who I love like a grandfather, even though he doesn't give me any money. And
or Super Bowl
Daniel Snyder and all these other meddling owners. Now Jeffrey Lurie's instructing his team.
Yeah, man.
Has he not learned from Jerry and Daniel, who's in his own division, to stay out of football operations? I guess not, which is why the Eagles are right where the Washington football team and the Cowboys have been for a long time.
Yeah, but you can also look at it from the perspective of, like, listen, I just had to get rid of my longtime head coach. I got rid of my quarterback, and the whole time I was just sitting back watching things happen and letting things go. And now I got Howie Roseman, who's starting to show his warts. I don't know if I could trust this.
Like the
the
one time Bob Kraft showed his hand to his team, he traded Jimmy Garoppolo to retain Tom Brady, and I believe he won at least one more Super Bowl. Oh, come on.
What? No?
Really?
I'm
sure they are.
Yeah.
Would you have not made the same move for Tom Brady? But I'm just saying, like, that's when Bob Kraft gets involved. Like, you know what? Yeah. We're going to keep Tom, and we'll let this guy go who's proved nothing and went to San Francisco and proved nothing except that he's injury prone. Well, and he looks good with a porn star. I look good with a porn star.
Okay. Anyway, did take him to the Super Bowl for what it's worth. All right. Right. Anyway.
So did Rex Grossman. Remember him?
Yeah, I do remember Rex Grossman.
Remember Rich Gannon?
Yes, I remember him too.
Took Oakland
for more than 5 years, unlike other people.
Took Oakland to a Super Bowl.
So, okay. Anyway, so now again, to me though, this just again, you can say what you think about Jalen Hurts here and all of that. But to me, again, this just screams NFL draft. And again, there has been talk that maybe Justin Fields. I mean, a couple guys are going to probably slip to six. Some people think, oh, quarterbacks are going to the first four picks, lock it up. But it doesn't always happen that way, though. Drafts don't always work out that way. So, you know, there's always a curveball. Somebody wants an offensive lineman that you're not thinking of, a defensive lineman. They want a line, you know, they want something to that effect. They want an edge rusher, something, you know, whatever. So I'm just putting that out there. So there is the potential for some of these quarterbacks to slip to six. And again, and I know I always talk about my Niners, but the Panthers want a quarterback. The Broncos want a quarterback. They made calls to Ryan Fitzpatrick, which we'll get to in a hot second. That's where my mind goes to here with the Jalen Hurts thing. But Anthony, talk to me. What did you think this morning when you saw that about Jalen Hurts? Besides the whole Jeffrey Lurie meddling in the team that he owns, the team that would not be there if he wasn't paying the bills.
Listen, I think Philadelphia should give Jalen Hurts a legitimate shot, but the fact that the reports are suggesting they're not going to bring in real competition, is that giving him a legitimate shot, or is that giving him the starting job on a silver platter? Like, the Eagles are the team that trades for Chase Daniel. We will know who the starting fucking quarterback of Philadelphia is in week one, because it's not going to be Chase Daniel.
I mean, I think we know it's going to be Jalen Hurts by the report today. I mean,
if the Eagles are smart, there's a guy whose impending retirement is lingering over fantasy football managers' heads right now, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is better than Chase Daniel, who is better suited than Jalen Hurts right now. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. And guess what? If nobody's calling Ryan Fitzpatrick, all of a sudden that price tag goes down. But if he has to retire, and then all of a sudden week two, week four, we're like, we're at Halloween, the Eagles are 1-4, and they want to call Ryan Fitzpatrick, all of a sudden Ryan Fitzpatrick's give me $15 million. You're the one who chose Jalen Hurts over me, and he's 1-5, 1-4.
All right, so
that's okay. Where we are, and you give it. Ryan Fitzpatrick leverage. Okay.
But what do you think of Jalen Hurts? What do you think of Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts, the quarterback.
I thought.
Do you think that they'll be in a position where on Halloween that they're going to have to, you know, make sure they have a suitable quarterback?
Okay, so let's paint the picture.
Do it. Bob Ross.
How good is this offensive line going to be? Number one. They're going to get Dillard back. They're going to get Brandon Brooks back. But we know Brandon Brooks can't stay healthy. Andre Dillard in his first real opportunity gets hurt. Lane Johnson is a little bit over the hill. You're going to move Zach Ertz, who outside of Jason Witten, who's now retired, one of the better two-way players, not named Rob Gronkowski and Witten in the NFL. Two-way player, I mean, maybe that's the wrong word, but he can block and he can catch. You're going to trade him. You bring in Zach Goddard, and your other guy is Richard Rodgers, unless you listen to the fantasy football Twitter, right, which we would be dumb to do. You'd be really dumb to do. Ooh. And draft Kyle Pitts in Philadelphia when they have ample needs on either side of the ball because you have a lot of guys aging out. But let's just bring another tight end, right? So if I'm Philadelphia, it all depends on what I'm going to put around Jalen Hurts. But is this team built for Jalen Hurts or is it built for more of a Carson Wentz type of quarterback? Like, when I think Jalen Hurts, I think maybe a dumbed-down or a lesser-talented Lamar Jackson. This Eagles team isn't built for that. You right, built well, this team around Nick Foles and Carson Wentz for a very long time.
So, really, so if it's
you're
a matter
gonna,
of...
I'm sorry. If you're going to commit to Jalen Hurts, commit to him 2 weeks ago, and start making the personnel moves to fit his skill set.
Right.
Well, unless you think you're just going to turn him into a pocket passer, which you're not going to do because what he is.
Yeah, but maybe you're missing the point where we're a week away from tampering and we're a week away from free agency. So he's saying now, prepare this team for Jalen Hurts. Prepare this team as if Jalen Hurts is the guy.
Then he's the guy.
Yeah, but I know that. No, I know that he's the guy. I didn't need you to tell me that he's the guy. I'm asking you, what do you think we can get out of him? Like, fantasy-wise, you know, because some people are saying top 12 quarterback, which I've said on this show that I think he could be a top 12 quarterback. I'd like to see what they do in free agency, but that's where I'm kind of going here. Yeah. Where do you think he can go? And by the way, Scott Kobe says he thinks that we need a swear jar. So
I've come around on Nick Sirianni. Because the more I dug deep, I did the article over at thegameday.com digging into the Carson Wentz and Nick Sirianni and really dug into both of these franchises. And Nick Sirianni, the offensive coordinator, had to adjust from Luck to Brissett to Rivers, three very different quarterback skill sets. To me, I think Nick Sirianni can adjust.
Okay.
But Nick, you bring Nick Sirianni in, and all of a sudden you're saying, here, you must start our guy. Does Nick Sirianni believe in Jalen Hurts? What if he doesn't?
I don't know.
What if Nick Sirianni wants to bring in his own guy? And then you might be looking at, and here's a perfect example. Remember John Fox and Ryan Pace and Mitchell Trubisky, and they didn't bring in Matt Nagy? Sure, they won some games, or a 500 football team made the playoffs once or twice, probably once in that 12-4 year, but it turned out to be a disaster.
Yes. No, I hear you. All right, so that is something. To me, I don't have an answer for that because you're right. That, I'll tell you, I would like to think that they said to him during the hiring process, hey, listen, we're probably going to try and trade Carson Wentz. So Jalen Hurts is going to be the guy. And even then, you know, even if he didn't want Jalen Hurts, he's what's going to say? Yeah, no, I don't want this job then. You know, of course, I guess he would just take it. But, well, that's a sort of we'll wait and see. But, all right, Anthony, gun to your head, where would you rank Jalen Hurts today then? Let's just end the Jalen Hurts talk with that. Gun to your head. And by the way,
15.
Go ahead.
15. Okay. Today, with those receivers and knowing Hurts is gone, 15.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, your opinion could change, and your opinion's entitled to change. Again, free agency opens up next week. So there you go. Scott Kobe did say that he noticed that you completely ignored his suggestion that we need a swear jar. You just glossed right over that.
I didn't ignore that. I have to go back and look at the comments.
No, well, he's telling you that we need a swear jar. I'm telling you what he's saying.
Maybe we need a swear jar. Maybe we need a swear jar. Let's go back before we segue to the next question or talking point. Scott did have a question at the top of the show.
Yeah.
We also had the official Young Huku YouTube channel.
Oh, nice.
The number one name in YouTube or Twitter. That is always going to be my favorite, whatever you call screen name, whatever we call it now. I think AOL had screen name.
Yeah.
We call it whatever now. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I love it.
Scott Kobe, he said, who would we draft? Or who would you guys want trading Christian McCaffrey in a dynasty league?
Oh, I mean,
it's a loaded question.
It is a loaded question. I mean, with all due respect, Scott, it's kind of a loaded question because, again, that's one of those. What do I need? You know, I'm assuming that if I'm willing to trade Christian McCaffrey, I'm probably fine at running back, or I could live.
Now you're completely rebuilding.
Maybe you're completely rebuilding. Yes. All right. There is that. But I mean, to me, I want one of those top quarterbacks. I don't even, because the wide receivers to me, yes, they're good for long periods of time. But give me a young quarterback. Give me give me a Deshaun Watson type. Somebody that I know.
In a dynasty, you're going to trade Christian McCaffrey.
I probably wouldn't. But we're being asked this question. I probably would not trade Christian McCaffrey under any circumstances.
I would want a Christian McCaffrey type back. I would look for Dalvin Cook because Kamara right now, I feel like he's right up there with Christian McCaffrey. You know who I would look back? Give me Saquon. And give me Nick Chubb.
Oof. Think you can get that though?
Why not? For McCaffrey with the right person who still believes McCaffrey is the 101.
Okay.
I think it's feasible, if not
And I think he's saying he could look back at what he has, so maybe this is actually something that's actually for real and he's not just giving us a hypothetical.
Now Scott is also saying, and I like this, so I'm gonna bring it up.
Oh, no
Chase
shit,
Claypool is gonna be Antonio Brown 2.0 attitude-wise. We have a companion report from Steelers.com reporter saying that as the season went on, as did Chase Claypool's diva-ness, and I made that diva-ness up.
Right. There was a different wording used, but it's still the same point. He had some diva tendencies that kind of flourished.
And you think Juju dancing on the Bengals an issue?
Hey, listen, I call that Chase.
I've never heard anybody call Juju a diva. Maybe immature. Maybe he plays Call of Duty too much and likes to dance.
I wouldn't even say immature. I just think that he should be a little more selective with when he does certain things. But I think he's a great
athlete.
But
they're calling Chase Jerry Rice 2.0 Claypool.
Oh, God.
A diva.
No one knows. I mean, yeah. Blasphemy. That writer should be fired, banned from Pittsburgh, never allowed in Heinz Field ever again, saying anything bad about Chase. Listen, I'll tell you when I knew something was wrong with Chase Claypool was when Chase Claypool said after they lost in the playoffs, and we talked about this on the show, when you said it's all good because the Browns are going to get clapped by the Chiefs. So it's all good. That's when I knew that there's a problem with Chase Claypool.
Like, did you see my tweet from earlier in the day? And I think it was a quote tweet to something Fantasy Data NFL quoted. And I was in a conversation with Aaron Schillinger, who we might be working with moving forward, but that's something behind the scenes. We're just dropping a little bit of a tip,
even though we're mentioning it
during Chase Claypool. But nobody knows what the hell we're working on. Doesn't matter.
True.
And I quote tweeted from weeks 1 to 11, Chase Claypool, and I forget because I'm looking for it now, but just so we don't have any lapse in the show, he was like a top 20 receiver during that 11-game win streak. But once Big Ben showed his true colors, regressing arm, what a burger diet, doesn't want to jump on fumbles, like Chase Claypool is like the wide receiver 42, somewhere in the 40s, from week 12 to 16. And yes, I did note he blew up in week 17, a game that didn't matter against the Browns. And he had another good game in the wild card against the Browns. But from week 12 to 16, fantasy football playoff, he was nowhere to be found. Yet, people are saying draft Terry McLaurin, who has a history of dog shit quarterbacks and producing with them, and he plays really, really well, versus Claypool, to when you're future Hall of Fame quarterback decides, you know what, I'm going to have an extra value meal this week instead of jumping a fumble or throw a deep ball for the next 5 weeks. He's nowhere to be found. So, of course, I'm going to take Terry McLaurin. Right?
Sure.
Mike?
Yeah.
Consensus? Help.
I don't understand why we got to get 37,000 references to Happy Meals. I mean, we get it. He's in the best shape of his life. I understand.
Mike, when was Ben Roethlisberger in good shape?
Probably.
11? 12 years old?
I didn't know him at 11 or 12, so I can't say that. I can't, you know. We're going to find out what we can get out of Chase Claypool because he's not going to have Juju there. I think it's worth noting that Chase Claypool is a hell of a talent. I think that he's able to do a lot of things in the NFL. I do believe that report that there's some diva tendencies, and I don't really give a crap whether you believe it or not, whether you like that I said it or not. This is my podcast. I'll say what I want to, but I think that he can be productive. I'm just looking to see how productive can he be caliber of Juju Smith-Schuster.
Week 1 to 11, so we could put a stamp on this.
Thank goodness.
Chase Claypool, Jerry Rice 2.0.
Right. Best wide receiver of all time.
Wide receiver 18 in PPR, weeks 12 to 16. The wide receiver 43.
That's bad. Even though that's Richard Petty's number, bad.
But there are people who will take him over Terry McLaurin, who's had nothing but Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, and Alex Smith, who barely had a knee.
You know what I said?
I don't even know if Alex Smith has a half in knee at this point.
You know what I said?
And he's still produced.
I say that's why you listen to the FF Faceoff, because if you're thinking, if you want to go on that current with the bad logic, we're here to shift your shoulders, say, no, this way, go this way. So
I've heard doctors say he has a tenth of a knee left, and Terry McLaurin still produced.
I don't care. I don't care if Terry McLaurin's quarterback is my 10-year-old daughter. Nah. You take Terry McLaurin over Chase Claypool. That's what I'm saying. Because we had the discussion that Terry McLaurin so far has played with bad quarterbacks. So I'm emphasizing. I don't care who's quarterback. I don't care if it's my 10-year-old kid. You go ahead. You take Terry McLaurin over Chase Claypool.
Really?
Don't knock my daughter.
Even with Juju leaving.
I haven't watched her throw in a long time, though. Maybe I should check that out before I make that statement.
But I heard if Juju leaves, Chase Claypool is going to get 295 targets in September.
Well, we could keep being condescending pricks, but he is the greatest wide receiver of all
time. I will.
I shall. Yeah. All right. Listen, really quick before we move on. You mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick quite a bit when we talk about Jalen Hurts. There is that report out there from Ian Rappaport saying that Ian Rappaport, let me see. Actually, where is this from? Oh, actually, there you go. Uh-oh. We have an update report. There were some reports out there saying that Fitzpatrick could potentially be retiring. Now they're saying Ian Rapoport is saying that Ryan Fitzpatrick does plan on playing in 2021, Anthony.
Good for him.
So there could still be that potential, though, for holding out and kind of holding up a team, like waiting. You know, I think if we see Ryan Fitzpatrick sign, I think it's going to be after the draft. I really honestly do, because I think it's either going to be someone's going to have a rookie quarterback and they're going to say, listen, we need Ryan Fitzpatrick here just in cases, just like they did with Miami. I mean, well, you know, he was there. Yeah, whatever. Or like Anthony's saying, maybe Philadelphia post-draft says, you know what? We're molding this team for Jalen Hurts, but you know what? Maybe we do need, just in case, maybe we need Ryan Fitzpatrick. So that's why I'm saying I think it's going to be after draft.
I agree. I if I'm Ryan Fitzpatrick, this is like I said earlier in the show, I want leverage. And I think I quote tweeted something like that. Like, if I'm Ryan Fitzpatrick, I want leverage, even after I retire and unretire and keep myself in shape. Like, if you sign now, you're not going to have a lot of leverage. But all of a sudden, if 32 teams pass up on you, and then somebody gets hurt in a preseason, or a month goes by in the season, one of these teams who passed up on your 38-year-old bearded ass, let's say that quarterback's a bust. Let's say you traded for Chase Daniel and thought he was your answer.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, Ryan Fitzpatrick goes from making $8 million to $16 million really, really quick, if not more, especially if you're a contender, especially if you're Miami and didn't move off of Tua like we all told you you should.
Yes. Sure. All right. Now, I do want to hop in.
All right. No, I was saying Julia earlier in the chat said, do you think the Eagles should get a wide receiver for Ertz and then go ahead and draft a wide receiver with the top 10 pick? Julia, do I have to bring up Freddie Mitchell and how Nelson Aguilar worked out and how Arcega Whiteside worked out? And how about Jalen Reagor? Like, some teams are really good at drafting certain positions.
You know, there's two things.
Bill Belichick, when it comes to drafting receivers, Bill Belichick and Howie Roseman, they need to, like, put on a – they need to go to somebody else's clinic and quick and learn how to do it because they suck at it.
So a less of – so a less obnoxious way of Anthony answering that would be that he thinks that they would be better suited to add a wide receiver via free agency and not draft a wide receiver because in the history, they have not shown the best judgment in drafting a wide receiver.
Between Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson and his like second and third contract, did they show their best judgment in Philadelphia bringing those motherfuckers in?
Here we go with this guy. I didn't say I disagreed. Never did I ever disagree with that. I never said I disagree with that answer.
Now, if you told me Philadelphia is going to put five tight, they're going to draft Kyle Pitts and retain, or they can draft as many tight ends they want, well, and then I will draft them on
fit. Kyle Pitts.
I'm just saying. All right. You know what? You just got it. Gotcha. Good. I'm glad. I'm glad. You bring that one up in 2 years. Okay.
I will.
Okay.
I will.
All right. Anyway. Baker and OBJ 2019.
Julia, they definitely do need to add wide receivers, but I probably agree with Anthony. While they should have, you would think they should have the firing power to get a good wide receiver. Their track record does show in the past that drafting wide receivers is not exactly there.
For the idiot mobile.
So maybe free agency is the way, as they say on the Mandalorian.
Now, Carlos, if you were Dallas. And their storied history of drafting number 88.
This is where I...
Then I think we're in good shape. All right? But we're not. Because we know the Philadelphia Eagles... Mike, before we move on, let's remind the listeners, let's remind the Eagles fans that you passed on Justin Jefferson, your guy, for Jalen Reagor.
My guy before it was cool.
Because my Cowboys were smart enough to say, hey, the Raiders, you passed on C.D. Lamb, the quintessential number one wide receiver in the 2020 class for Henry Ruggs, a two-catch, 50-yard-per-game guy. Hopefully he scores. for a potential.
I feel like Gorilla Monsoon
league
right now
changing. A league changing CD Lamb.
Okay. Will you give it a rest? Anyway, Carlos Dunlap, let's talk a little bit of defense here because defense does matter in the NFL, and the NFL is a, you know, without the NFL, there is no fantasy football. So defense does matter, despite what some of you on Twitter might think. And you won't hear many fantasy football podcasts talk about defense. So we'll do that right now for a hot second. Carlos Dunlap has been informed he is going to be released by the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are going to save about $14 million. So this is a nice little move for them. Get to save a little bit of money. But Anthony, Carlos Dunlap is definitely a player who's got something left in the tank. He had 6 sacks last year. I think he's had 15 sacks in the last 2 years, had 8 the year before. So this is not a guy who's finished. This is a cost-cutting measure by the Seahawks. What says you, Carlos Dunlap? Because I feel like, hey, if you need a pass rusher, and if you're a team that can win now, he ought to be at the top of your list, should he not?
Yeah, absolutely, because of what Carlos Dunlap did for the Seahawks team down the stretch. They acquired him at the trade deadline, and right at that trade deadline, it went from let Russ cook to let this defense cook, and I believe Carlos Dunlap's presence adding to that pass rush opened a lot of things up, and that's when we saw that Seattle defense really take off, and Russ stopped cooking, because Pete Carroll does not want Russ to cook.
No, he does not.
Pete Carroll wants a backfield and a defense to cook, which is why the Seattle Seahawks and the Chicago Bears, we have a clear-cut dance partner. The fact that it is not happening right now. Wow. Because Seattle, if you don't move him now, I don't know if you're under contract for Russ next. Russ will not be on your team for the 2022 season. I don't know what happens between now and then. I don't know if it's a free agent next year or what.
All right, so we'll transition right to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I have mentioned that a couple times why I think Russell Wilson will stay in Seattle, at least for this year. There's a potential out for 2022. That's what there is. It's not, you know, he still
This Peter King graphic, I love it. Number one.
You like it?
I fucking love it.
Thank you. Yeah.
I love Peter King.
What Anthony's referring to, if you guys are podcast listeners, I will let you guys know this is a reason why you should enjoy us audio-wise, but also enjoy us visually and tune into the show. I do have a show graphic with Peter King saying that, he quoted it. That being the potential of Russell Wilson being traded to the Bears, a futile pipe dream, which that kind of pisses all over Chicago Bears fans who, you know, late last week, we saw reports that, that the Bears are going to, Anthony's doing it again, man, he's on a roll. We heard reports that the Bears were going to put their best foot forward. They were going to They were no privacy in the podcast.
This is why I like having myself blocked from vision.
Oh, God.
At least from you.
We're getting off in tangents. Well, Anthony, the reason why I want to see you is because when we have guests, they say, why am I only looking at Mike? Who is this idiot? I want to see Anthony, too.
You got to ask them if they've ever seen The Wizard of Oz. Have you ever seen The Wizard? Why do you need to see The Wizard of the FFA's off?
Right. Very good. So, Wilson and the Windy City Woes continue was the headline on the graphic, because, again, futile pipe dream is what Peter King refers to. He makes reference with the potential trade for Russell Wilson to the Bears. Anthony, is this? I kind of think of it this way, right? Like when I saw this report. You know, I always joke on this show, like, Deshaun Watson. Like, the Texans are like, yeah, no, he's our quarterback. And Watson's like, I'm never going to play for you ever again. Like, it's literally never going to happen. Is that what it's like here for the Bears, where they're like, yeah, no, we're going to trade for Russell Wilson? And the Seahawks are like, dude, we're not even picking up the phone for you guys. Like, we're not having a conversation. Can the Bears move mountains and get this deal done, in your opinion?
Listen, I would trade my next 4 first-round picks for Russell Wilson. If you look at it, and Colin, my guy Colin Coward, puts it out this way. You trade for Russ, and you know, and here's my spin on it. You're the Bears. The past 3 years, 8-8 or better with 112-4 record with Mitchell Trubisky. You put Russ on this team. You're winning 10 games a year with that defense, and even with decent weapons, not even good weapons, because we know Russ is good like that, right? So you're looking at, you're trading 4 20-plus pick draft picks in the first round. You're not trading 4 first-round picks. You're trading 4 picks in the 20s-plus. Is it really that much different than trading a bunch of seconds at that point to get Russell Wilson on a team that you perennially suck at the quarterback position? If I'm Chicago, I am not going to blink, especially when Matthew Stafford goes for 2 firsts and Jared Goff, who a couple of years ago was the number 1 overall pick. That still counts. I know maybe now he's worth maybe an early second, but they drafted him and moved up for him for a first. So essentially, in theory, Matthew Stafford, who has won as many playoff games as the real NFL guru, right? Went for 3?
It's just a fact. You know, the best example, the best example I saw with the Chicago Bears.
You can get me for a 4th, motherfucker.
Okay.
And I'll,
very good.
And maybe I'll give this the Rams faithful the same production as Matthew Stafford once he's exposed too. Sorry.
See, that's where you say you're always fine. And sorry, you go a little too far. And take
a little
it,
too
and then you
far. Isn't
exposed.
It a little too far? As Rams faithful believes they're a Super Bowl contender now with Matthew Stafford, who hasn't won dick.
Yeah, but you talk. You're right. But Stop speaking for a second, because you talk about, you know, gonna be exposed and this and that. Hasn't done anything in Detroit. Well, keep in mind, he's put together very good seasons, and he's also been stuck on a team.
Oh,
he's been stuck on a team.
So has Deshaun.
Deshaun
has more playoff wins, and he's been in the league for a minute.
Right, but
minute
was Deshaun Watson drafted to the Detroit Lions, a team notorious for ruining. Careers.
Yeah. He's only
now we
drafted
know Watson wants to get out because now we see the true colors.
The Houston Texans don't ruin careers.
I just said
David Carr. Let's start with David Carr.
Okay, so we're gonna compare David Carr. David Carr ruined
careers.
Right? We're gonna talk about David Carr. That's
just saying.
That's the best name you've got to throw me. Not even Andre Johnson.
David Carr didn't even have a shot at it. He did not have a shot at a career in Houston. And then they bring in Jack Easterby. If I'm Deshaun Watson and I'm looking at, well, if Russell Wilson, I know he's won a lot and he's won a Super Bowl, but they don't protect him. They don't protect him in Seattle, who's been hit as much or more than Russ in the past 4 years since I've been in the league. Me!
Stop speaking finally.
I want out! And Deshaun wanted out. And JJ wanted out. And DeAndre Hopkins wanted out. I'm sorry. If you're telling me that the Houston Texans are not as inept as the Detroit Lions, tell me why that they're better. Because they won a playoff game under Billy O? They won one playoff game in the franchise's 20-year history?
No, you're talking in circles now. You said to me when I brought this up, you said, oh, but they have a playoff win. Deshaun has a playoff win. Now you're using it against them.
Yeah.
Now you're telling me not to use that as an example, even though you use that as an example. So right now I know you've officially talked too much, so I need to give you a couple minutes on timeout. Okay. We did not perceive this Texans organization to have the warts that it did as badly as it did until recently. We've known since the days of Barry Sanders. We've known since the days of New Kids on the Block and Hacky Sacks and Surge Soda. We have known for all that time that the Detroit Lions are a dysfunctional organization. We have not known the wars that the Houston Texans have until the last couple of years. Oh. Okay, so that's the thing. And not as many, and I get it, not a longevity in franchise, but we have seen so many careers lay waste to the Detroit Lions mismanagement. So all I'm simply saying, we're going into a completely different conversation here, getting away from the whole Russell Wilson trade thing.
Are you aware that the Detroit Lions have been around since like 1950 and the Houston Texans have been around for like 20 years? I get ratio-wise, I bet we're the same. I bet we're the same ratio-wise. But you can go on.
Okay.
By the way, the Houston Texans as a franchise, 135, 169, and 0. But go on.
I literally said, literally, before you interrupted me, literally just said, I understand that the franchise in Detroit has been around a lot longer than Houston. Then you brought up, hey, Mike, do you realize how long Detroit's been around? Houston hasn't been around that long.
Like,
but if you calculate it, if I bust out my calculator and if I divide the years that they've been around, like, as opposed to Detroit, they have killed just as many casualties as in their careers. Men have
not walked on the moon yet when Detroit's inception was.
Right. I acknowledge that, though. You're acting like I haven't acknowledged it. I acknowledge it. Are you done yet?
Yes, I'm done. You go on.
Because I'd like to finally get back to fucking Russell Wilson if we can.
Who?
Russell Wilson. That's what we were talking about.
Oh.
Okay.
I know.
Anyway.
I know.
If this guest is watching, you sure as shit not going to want to come on right now. But we're going to have a guest in a couple days, that being Adam Rank. And I thought he had a great tweet to summarize the Russell Wilson. Okay.
And he's a Bears fan.
He is a Bears fan. He had a tweet a couple days ago that said, the Bears have used recent first round draft picks on Kevin White, Leonard Floyd, and Mitch Trubisky. I would trade all of those for Russell Wilson. Stop overvaluing first round picks. Well, not you, Seattle. They are totally worth it.
Right.
So that's his, of course, Adam Rank, of course, has his humorous spin on it. That's the thing. That's, you know, it's a crapshoot sometimes with these picks. And Anthony, about a half hour ago, before we got onto a Matthew Stafford tangent, he mentioned that if you trade these picks, I mean, they're all late picks. I think you make the deal. I just don't think it happens. Again, I don't think it happens. I still maintain that Russell Wilson is going to be a Seahawk in 2021. We are on a very long and winding road towards a divorce, and we'll see that come to fruition in 2022 when he changes teams finally. I just don't see it happening now. So,
Mike, I'm with you. I don't see it happening either, but should it happen? Yes, okay. It should happen. It should happen now. It should have happened yesterday. And if I'm John Schneider, he's a great GM, but like, would you rather have Russell Wilson if you look at the longevity of great quarterbacks they're playing into their 40s? Or Pete Carroll, who's already 70. And let me get me wrong. When he had that body profile against DK Metcalf, I know he's not Arnold Schwarzenegger, but Pete Carroll had a nice body for like 68 years old. Pete's done. Pete's not going to coach until he's 80. You have more longevity with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's why I've said on this show that
Pete's a good-looking guy. For 70, I would love to look like Pete when I'm 70. Okay.
If you made me pick Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll, I would pick Russell Wilson every time.
Me too.
So, there you go.
What about looks? I think Pete's a good-looking guy.
Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll?
Yeah!
This is what we're talking about now.
Yeah!
This is what Hey, I mean, we have other shit to discuss, but as long as you're asking me, I'd still go Russell Wilson.
I like Pete. I don't know. I like the salt and pepper hair.
This is where
our
podcast is at now.
This is where we're at.
I'm going to get salt and pepper hair the more I'm on this podcast with you.
That's a good thing. We'll get closer.
Because then you'll be attracted. Yeah, that's great.
Damn right.
Speaking of Anthony being attracted to the opposite sex, we will transition to
you
Tom
gotta take
Brady
it there.
And the Tampa Bay. You just talked. We just joked about it. I thought it was okay. I thought this was a safe place. Clearly, it's not like everywhere else in the world. We will now transition to Tom Brady.
Cancel the FF Realist
and just stop speaking while I'm trying to segue. For Christ's sakes, Anthony, I'm trying to shift the show to a new point. Tom Brady. There is now rumors out there that Tom Brady wants Odell Beckham to be a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, listen, we haven't seen a lot of verified accounts report this, you know, any kind of Ian Rappaport's Peter King's of the world, this and that, but I buy it based on him wanting Antonio Brown last year. And if you remember, if you think back to this, because I thought about this, a lot of people are going to say, well, I mean, there's not a need to bring in Odell Beckham. You've got all these other guys. Well, if you remember, Bruce Arians said early last year, before the season started, he said, there's not a need for us to bring in Antonio Brown. Doesn't make sense for us. We're not going to do it. Doesn't make sense. Well, they did. And it worked out for them because, Anthony, you mentioned this a lot. I mean, when other receivers started breaking down or there were injuries to other receivers on Tampa Bay, that was kind of – it worked beautifully as far as that's when Antonio Brown caught his stride and was able to put together some productive games, which obviously ultimately, in case you've been living under a rock or been in a coma, helped propel the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the Super Bowl. Now, Anthony – what are your thoughts on this report? And then there's, you know, the giant elephant in the room, or however they refer to that, is that if Odell Beckham comes into this team, however it happens, well, who goes? Because they can't have Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown. We know Mike Evans is there. Chris Godwin could be available. They've made every indication that they're not going to let him be free. They're going to make sure he stays there. And you and I have both said that we think Antonio Brown's best place is Tampa, and we think that that's his only place. So who goes if Odell is there? And, I mean, do you even think this happens? Is this all just a waste of time?
Do I have permission to talk?
You do now, because I have now finished my segue from one topic to another, and I am now posing a question to you. So, yes, you are now more than capable.
Thank you.
You speak.
Thank you for your permission to speaking about my guy Tom Brady, my spirit brother, my spirit brother Tom.
Yes.
Who we share religious experience. When Tom came to me in a burning bush in the offseason, that's another story for another day. I have a feeling there's going to be another bush burning in the future for me and Tom. But when it comes to Tom's,
he goes to bed at 6. When it comes to
Tom's receivers. If Chris Godwin goes, because Chris Godwin not only wants to win, but he also wants to be paid. He's not Mike Evans, who's taken a pay cut or two at this point. Yes, he wants to be paid. We know that Tom's going to restructure and extend. We know Mike Evans is willing to, but I don't know if Chris Godwin is willing to. So if Chris Godwin departs, I do see a spot for Odell Beckham Jr. However, if there's a scenario where Chris Godwin stays, and let's say we're in the third or fourth week of free agency and nobody is calling Antonio Brown, he's going to come at a discount with incentives, and all of a sudden there's no room for Odell Beckham Jr., and then all's going to be well in Tampa Bay. If they lose Antonio Brown or Chris Godwin, I do see a power play for OBJ. But that is only if they lose Chris Godwin or OBJ. If not, you're telling me there's enough to make all these. And let's call it what it is. Mike Evans, Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin. If Chris Godwin and the reports and the rumors were if he goes to Baltimore, you're going to have to overpay for Chris Godwin or Allen Robinson or Kenny Golladay because they're not going to hit their incentives. You're not going to hit your incentives here with those four, plus Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson.
Yep. Which, by the way, Tyler Johnson, the last name you mentioned, I see reports today that they think he's the next breakout.
And Gronk, yeah, and Cameron Brate, yeah. and O.J. Howard's probably gone. But you know where I'm going here. There's only so much.
Now, I'll say this. Okay, so if he goes to Tampa Bay, we're going to go on the assumption if he goes to Tampa Bay, one of these wide receivers is out, in which case you would like Odell Beckham for fantasy if he's on Tampa, correct? Right?
I mean, I would love Dorial Green Beckham in Tampa right now.
Exactly. Yeah, that's basically what I was saying. So let's just say Godwin remains there, Antonio Brown remains there, because, again, this is just a rumor. So let's just act like it doesn't happen, okay? But there is that whole, could Odell Beckham be gone? A lot of people say they don't necessarily need him in Cleveland. Again, this is a run-based team, and this is a team that's going to I think Baker Mayfield he's not a game manager, but he is, to me, he's adapting to what this team needs him to do. It's probably the best way to put it. Run heavy. So they don't need Odell. So basically what I'm trying to go, long-winded question, I apologize, and you could hit every single point you want. Is there a team that Odell would go to that you'd be interested, or are you out on Odell completely unless he's in Tampa Bay?
I'm not out on Odell Beckham Jr. completely. Odell Beckham Jr. back in New York.
You know that's not going to happen.
Odell on a lot of Giants, Jets in that market. I agree with Colin Coward with. Odell Beckham Jr. is one of those players where the media drives him. Do you put him in a smaller market like Cleveland or a bigger market like New York or L.A., he will thrive off of that. Now,
yeah, but I just don't see the Giants with Gettleman there, man.
Yeah, Maybe the Jets.
I mean, that's got to trade him away.
But like Odell, all you need to do is put him with competency at quarterback. And this is not a shot, but is a shot at Baker Mayfield. The fact that if Baker Mayfield didn't have that running game, how bad would the Cleveland Browns be?
Well, there was reports that they were having trouble connecting.
No, it's so like Odell and Matt Ryan together, if you put Odell and, you know, insert quarterback together, a better passer, I think Odell has enough, and I think Odell's legit enough to blow back up. Here's where I want to go here. We have in the Periscope chat somebody named Hollywood. Is this Hollywood Brown? Is this Hollywood Henderson?
I believe that's Hollywood IDP.
Okay. Is this...
You could...
Hollywood Hogan...
You wish.
I do wish. I would love those pythons in my chat right now. But no, Hollywood, he's saying, what's up, fellas? Hollywood, what's going on?
Awkward.
No matter what Hollywood you are, welcome. But no, really, it depends on where Odell goes. I think Odell needs a legitimate quarterback at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Like, put Odell in Indy. Do I see the Cleveland Browns? Do I see them being inept like they would be 15 years ago to trade him in division? Absolutely not.
No.
But could Odell Beckham Jr., like, can you imagine Odell and A.J. Brown together?
It would be incredible.
Yeah. I mean, please.
With Ryan Tannehill, now proven.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, I know people are clamoring for the Chiefs. The Chiefs after this Super Bowl, albeit Tardif was attacking COVID as a doctor, which is something I'm not taking a shot at, and Mitchell Schwartz was hurt, and Mike Remmers were hurt. But after that Super Bowl, when that Tampa Bay front seven saw Mitchell Trubisky like a Brontosaurus burger, you need to get some depth on that offensive line. I think you'll get by with Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, DeMarcus Robinson, resign him, and Mecole Hardman. I don't think you have to go after Odell to make this team complete. I think you'll get by.
All right. Well, listen.
How about Odell with the Raiders?
Yeah. No, it's another one. And Vegas, you know, you talked about places where you could thrive. I think media attention and the glitz and glam, that would be some kind of wonderful. Yeah, but listen, we're at an hour. So I'll just ask you, just for the hell of it. I know it's just a rumor. Will Odell Beckham be a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2021? Yes or no?
No.
Okay.
No, I think they're going to get their guys back. I think Chris Godwin will come at a little bit of a discount or a franchise tag. I think Antonio Brown, unless the Ravens sign him, there will not be another team in the market, and he'll take what he can plus incentives from Tampa Bay. Yeah. Odell is not going to be in Tampa Bay. I would absolutely positively love it, but it's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm an Odell supporter, but I don't see it happening. But
now, do I love the picture of Odell in a sleeveless tuxedo and Tom? I love that.
Yeah, I love that. From a few years ago at a fashion show, I believe.
So. I might put that on my wall.
Okay. I'm not allowed to go any further with that. Last time I did, I got yelled at, so I'll leave it alone. But yes, yeah, so that will do it. But Anthony, why don't you, on top of telling everybody what they could do as we ride off into the sunset, let them know what we have cooking this week, right? We got some stuff cooking early on. We're coming at you with Operation Shock and Awe. Wednesday.
I don't remember what we have coming this week. No, I'm just kidding. Tomorrow night, Tuesday at 8 Eastern time, I believe, or 9, 8 or 9.
It better be 8, otherwise my wife's going to end my life.
We will have a mock draft with the guys from the lone podcast left standing over at Gridiron Experts. The Fantasy FAQs, we will be doing a four-person mock draft. Mike, me, Seth Keller, and Pat. We will be going every four picks, and we will do a first round mock draft. And then I believe on Wednesday, we will have Adam Rank from NFL Fantasy on the program, which I'm really excited for.
Very excited. Yep. Super
excited. And beyond that, with NFL free agency and the franchise tag and the new league year, you might see so much FF face-off, you might throw up.
Well, we also have...
I don't think you'll throw up from my face, however.
We have the very famous Lindsay OK on Twitter.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for Lindsay.
That's another one. That's two guests.
I love Lindsay. I love her to death.
Lindsay, those are... two guests we've been waiting to get on here for a long time.
She has a Pomeranian, correct?
She does.
I love her so much. Sure.
No, she's all, and to me,
hopefully she brings hers and I will bring mine.
Hey, International Women's Day or, you know, whatever it is today, but, you know, give thanks, you know. Lindsay is one of the OGs on Twitter, so it'd be very cool to have her on. So we are looking forward to that. But point being, we've got a lot of good stuff cooking. Anthony's bending over to probably pick up Roman, who's just the official mascot of the FFA. So off there he is, waving. Very nice. Wave to the camera. Smile, Roman, smile. Bark into the microphone if you can. Bark twice if you're in Milwaukee. And Anthony, anything else to say before we ride off into the sunset?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're listening right now on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating and a 5-star review, telling everyone why you love the show. And why we are the best damn fantasy football podcast on the planet. Because the more subscriptions, ratings, and reviews that we get, the more people we can help dominate their fantasy football leagues and raise their NFL IQ as a whole. I think Roman will get the next contention for presidency after this.
Yes. Roman, I'm not going to lie. You're damn adorable, but I don't like the way you're shaking your paw at me. So, you know, clear your jets. But there you go. So there's Roman, the official mascot of the FF Faceoff. But yes. That will do it for today. So we will tell you as we move forward into this week, stay safe, be kind to one another, stay thirsty. I did that in a different order this time. Stay thirsty, be kind to one another. If they ask you to wear a mask, wear a mask. There's still this COVID thing going on.
We've gone through it this far. Mike, we have breaking news.
Oh, man.
Here we go. Mike. The Cowboys and Dak, we are back.
Oh, a deal.
We are extended. Oh, a deal? We are extended.
Where is it?
I had to put Roman down for this.
Do we have numbers?
The Cowboys announced that they've agreed to a long-term deal. Do we care what the numbers are?
Great. No,
Dak is
awesome.
Back.
I love it.
Dak
I
is
love it.
Back.
No, I love it. So there you go. All right. Well, Anthony, more stuff to discuss tomorrow. There you go. All right.
Mike, well, I'm ecstatic. Right. Listen, I'm good. Dak is back. The dog is happy.
Very good. All right. Well, that'll do it for the show. So I did all the outro stuff, Anthony. Be safe. Stay kind
Dak
of
is back.
Stay thirsty. Dak is back, yes. And if they ask you, wear a mask, because COVID's still going on. But we will catch you on the flip side. Cheers.